5th meeting of the Plainview Old Bethpage Board of Education. We hope that everybody had a wonderful start, but before we begin, could you all please stand for the pledge? Rennell?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any board announcements? Susan?
I just want to say happy first week of school. I came across something on social media. Sometimes it actually comes out with some great things. Not everything's bad. And it's called a prayer, but I'm not going to call it a prayer because it's a wish. As we begin a new school year, take a minute to say a little wish for the kids that don't fit in, the kids that come home in tears because they sit on a buddy bench at recess. Even then, no one will play with them, the kids that are different at school. Wish they know that they are loved, wish that they know that they are special, wish that they find their tribe of friends. And we wish that they find the strength to do it alone if that is what life has dealt with them. Please teach your children to be kind to everyone. So that is my wish for the school year, that everybody's included and everyone gets to sit on the buddy bench and find a buddy. So,
thank you. Debbie?
I know we're going to discuss a little later, maybe Dr. Lewis is going to talk about all the work that's been done over the summer, but I just wanted to really thank everybody involved because there has been so much work done this summer, and everything that we've seen so far looks beautiful, and I'm sure it was a very difficult summer for everyone who had anything to do with all of the construction. So, Rich, I'd like to thank you and all the people who have worked.
Thanks. It was a huge team effort, including the building administrators who literally had to work through the construction. I think Mr. Murray can comment on that more than most, considering basically everything fell out of your ceiling or something.
A lot of hidden treasures.
Ooh. Found those students who were missing, right? I think that we so appreciate the work that everybody did the last few days. Jody and I had a chance on Wednesday to go upstairs and look at unfinished rooms at Matlin, and I was taking pictures and saying that the art and science labs could never, ever be done, and then we got word that they were done. And we know that there's a lot of packing and unpacking to get done, but it's all going to get done because to have beautiful rooms like that, it's just unbelievable. And we're just praying for cooler weather. We know there are a few places that don't have AC or there's been some problems, but everything's being worked on, and we just want to welcome everyone back. And I think that the death of John McCain sent a real message to everybody about civility. And as we sit and we go through things, sometimes we all get a little upset about something and everything else. But the message is that we all have to be civil and treat each other with respect, and we can get a lot of stuff done this year. And as we had our rocks with all our different words on it, so many of the words were DASA words, and it was all about respect and kindness and caring and everything else. And so that, as Debbie said, for those kids, or Susan, who are left out, let's make sure that we keep an extra eye on them and make sure everybody is included one way or the other, because for that one child who's lost, meandering in the halls by themselves or sitting in the playground by themselves or at a table by themselves, just think how it feels to be that kid. And so that let's focus in on making sure that everybody's included this year and no one is left out. Any other? Dr. Lewis.
Welcome back, everyone. This morning, I had the pleasure of walking into the Stratford Road Auditorium with the Stratford Road students as they held their assembly and sang their song, the Stratford Road song. And it really is a very, I know Lionel was there, and so was the rest of Central Office. It really is a symbol of all the work that has taken place over the summer. I also want to echo my thanks to the buildings and grounds staff and everybody who's put up with the movements. We just have done tremendous work. I just took the board on a quick tour at Matlin with the science rooms and the art rooms that are now completed, and we just need to get the materials packed away and the technology in place. We're just grateful that they made it on time and that children were able to use those classrooms and the staff were able to use the classrooms on Tuesday. To the Old Beth Page residents, I want you to know that we have addressed the calendar issue. We emptied those who did not get their calendars. We found the source of the problem and have tried to fix it. There were six routes, and Mr. Donnarumma physically took boxes over to the Old Beth Page post office last week, but there were six routes, and we only had enough boxes for four of the routes. We expedited a reprinting of the calendars and today brought over the other five boxes that were missing. All Old Beth Page residents should have their calendars at least by tomorrow. We've completely covered. But we thank you for your patience. And Donna did tell us when they didn't arrive, and we kind of waited and waited. So we appreciate the heads up. But when we saw more than Donna, usually the Farmingdale area is the one that doesn't get distributed, but we thank you for your patience, and we have moved to correct that. One more thing. I took care of those three. When you walk into Plainview Middle School, POB Middle School, there is something that's quite unique that greets you. And to the average person, you will pass by it and not notice it. But for me, it was something that welcomed the school year, that was quite symbolic. There is a banana tree that's in Plainview Old Beth Page Middle School. And now usually when you have those in pots, they do not blossom. I've never seen a hand, that's what it's called in the Caribbean, a hand of bananas growing out of a banana tree. And what happened in Plainview is that because of our new windows and the new lighting in the atrium, the right conditions were there for these banana tree to sprout.
Wow. I think it's a sign.
I do think it's a sign. It's a sign that we grow in miraculous ways at Plainview. And I actually am using it as my symbol as I speak on September 23rd at my conference, because it is so symbolic of the wonderful things that happen here. And that if we have the right conditions, all of our children grow. And that's my symbol for the year.
Very nice.
That's wonderful.
Welcome back, everybody. It's great to see all your refreshed and relaxed faces. I want to thank you for doing this at the very beginning of the meeting tonight, because if you can't tell, this was a really difficult thing for Barbara to do. Come on up here, friend. Come up here. This was a very difficult decision for Barbara. Barbara Ann Colasacco, one of our special education aides at POB JFK. And when she announced it to me over the summer vacation, I was at work, but she was on vacation. we were I was shocked. I mean, it was a very difficult thing for her to write, to actually physically put the words down on paper. But I would like to share you some information about Barbara, because I think that you should know a little bit more about her. She began her career in the district as a special education aide back on September 12, 2000. She's always been a very loyal and dedicated employee, not only to the district, but most importantly, to the students that she taught along the way. She was always willing to help out wherever she was needed, whether it be at Stratford Road, POB Middle School, Matlin, or here at the high school. Barbara cared very much for her students and grew attached to them as if they were her own. Her nurturing personality was a blessing, as her students grew attached to her as well. Barbara always had a smile on her face and treated everyone with respect. She always handled her position in an exemplary manner. During her 18-year career in the POB Central School District, Barbara gained the respect of everyone she came in contact with. It was very hard for her to make the decision to retire, as she will certainly miss her students and colleagues as well. Barbara was an asset to our district, and she will definitely be missed. We wish Barbara all the best of luck in the next chapter of her life. Barbara, by the way, is joined by her husband, Bernie, tonight. And I was hoping that she was going to bring her most beautiful little grandson, new grandbaby, to her with us tonight. But I will continue to see pictures of him through Facebook. So I'm very happy about that. But she has wonderful things in store for her future. So we just know that. And she's also worked two jobs along the way, weren't you? Yeah. So we're very happy for her. She deserves this recognition.
And just on behalf of the Board of Education, we'd like to give you this plaque for tremendous gratitude we have for all that you've done for us. And come visit us.
I will.
Okay?
I love it. Thank you.
In case the audience doesn't know what happened, we've had the services of Chris Donnarumo in the district quite some time. First as the assistant principal at the high school, came to us from Northport, and then became the principal of Matlin. Then when we needed his services in Central, became the assistant to, we used to call him TT, to the superintendent. He took over at a time when you know school safety and security is at a paramount. I predict that other districts are moving in that direction, because safety has become such an immense task in the 21st century. Technology, it demonstrates the priority that the district has placed on not only recognizing an employee who has done a yeoman's task in helping us navigate through some tough times, but also it says to the public how much we value student safety. So thank you, Chris, for the work that you've done, and welcome to the full-fledged assistant superintendency.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you for the opportunity, to be honest with you. It's a pleasure to work here, and I look forward to many years in the future. So thank you very much.
And if I could add to that too, Chris, all the years that I've known you, you've done a phenomenal job. You're easy to deal with. You really dove into any job you did, and the results were terrific. So lots of good luck.
Thank you, Renell.
We have several reports and discussions. We're going to move number one, the board
Seth is in here. He should be here in about 5 minutes. So we'll start with her, please.
So we have been notifying the public for some time that we have a building that used to be a school for us many, many moons ago. It's been occupied by a tenant, and there has been expressed interest in someone to purchase that property. The board is looking into it, considering the requests, and we'll keep the public updated as we make progress. Okay, so we have said, and you will experience next Thursday, voting in all of our schools. When the public, when there's a local, national election or a state election, all of our schools are commandeered as voting sites. We know that that's not the optimum in terms of safety, as we just talked about. But we also have some of our schools exposed during our own election. So to model the behavior that we would like to see from the Board of Elections, we are asking the board to consider removing the active school voting sites from our school board elections, and consider using central office, which is this area right outside, as the voting site for one area that should be identified, and we will keep Jamaica Avenue, and we believe that those two sites can handle the numbers of voters that show up at our, even for a very active school board election, that we could do it for both sites. It requires us identifying the streets that would be sent to Matlin, and doing the proper notice to all residents, but we first have to identify, once we've mapped out the schools. My thought was that we would do it by the two middle schools. If you're PLB middle school, you would go to Jamaica Avenue. If your streets are for Matlin, then you would vote here. But we have to identify it and be clear, because 60% of our voters don't have children in school. So we would have to notify all of those households and make it very clear. Even when we do make it very clear, I know people will be confused because the national elections and the state elections will still be in schools, although we're trying very hard with the Board of Elections to say, could we not have them in our schools? It's very difficult when we do.
Are there any questions?
I mean, technically, this still is our school, and Jamaica is still in our school.
Yes.
So could we use So for state elections, we can't still use those facilities?
Oh, yeah, we can, but it's bigger than us.
Okay.
You must have a voting place and a zip code.
Oh, so for all Bethpage.
You must have a place to vote.
Okay.
That's state law.
But firehouses are also possible to be used, and they do have a firehouse. Many districts, in fact, there is going to be litigation. Guard City New Hyde Park is taking litigation on this because they no longer use their schools. In Freeport, I vote at the firehouse. I do not vote in my school anymore.
So maybe we could look into that because, I mean, even with the middle schools and elementaries, I think it's K through 6 that have a half day now because of that, I mean, it becomes a child care issue.
Absolutely.
As well, because the older siblings can't even watch the younger siblings. So I think it's something that we really should look into.
We're actually closed this year for November, but the problem is
K through 6. Oh, I mean,
yeah, K-6.
Right, K-6. So it becomes an issue with child care.
Because the
older siblings.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah.
But next Thursday.
The primary.
Thursday.
I'm not talking about this week.
Right. Right.
I'm talking about,
That's
into
what
the
I was
future.
Yep. We have primaries, and maybe two people will come for the primary.
Right, right.
And we've closed a building, you know.
Right.
We can't.
Right.
So
well,
there
we've
multiple
spoken about this for a long time and always,
sent
you
a
know,
letter to the Board of Elections.
Couldn't do anything, so I'm glad we're looking into the
Me
possibility
too.
Of doing that. Well, Susan feels the same way that I do.
And so do I. And the truth is that as Peck's bad girl here, and I always had a problem with the Board of Elections because I insisted, if you remember that time, they came, they measured the building and told me that I didn't have a choice. And I was furious, absolutely furious with all the strangers coming into the building
yes.
and the children in school. So it's about time that something happened here to protect our kids on those kinds of days. You know, so I'm in agreement. So there.
Well, the reality check is we can control
our
school board stuff.
Right.
The rest of it is the Board of Elections. And there are many, many mitigating circumstances that those are why certain places are chosen. And obviously it's a public school, but there's the church on Old Country Road that's a voting place. They could utilize the library. I mean,
the library is a natural place.
You know, there are.
And they have like that whole downstairs.
Well,
with
and they have an elevator, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah,
they have an elevator.
Right.
But I mean, we could suggest other places also, but it's from firsthand knowledge. Almost every school district writes in that they don't want their schools used
yeah,
as a voting place anymore.
Shouldn't.
And on one hand, we want the democracy and we want the right to vote. And then when you, on the other hand, turn around and say, well, we're going to eliminate this place, and this place, you have to have, I think, Beth Page only has one voting site? No.
Right, it's the school.
Is it two?
Yeah. No,
it's the school.
One.
They don't use the firehouse, though.
Yeah. But
which they could.
They could probably use maybe the Restoration Village or something. Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's other places that could be suggested.
Right.
But it's the
it
chances.
It won't be as easy as.
Slim to none.
Right.
I remember when we had Sandy and they commandeered. We didn't have any electricity, and they were threatening us.
Yeah.
To open our schools.
Well, and the people in Long Beach, if you remember, they were displaced.
Yeah.
And they just had to have proof that they lived in Nassau County
right.
to go any place to vote because they were homeless
yeah.
at that point in time. So. It's a discussion that I guess is going to be ongoing and ongoing.
It's important enough to realize, though, that there are so many outcries and demonstrations and, you know, for various reasons. That for this particular reason, I think that there should be more of an outcry. And if there is, maybe they'll be heard at some point.
If people would come out and vote, there could be an outcry.
Yes, right. 70% or 80%
at home.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that has come up in PTA meetings also. Maybe I'm putting PTA on the spot, and I apologize right now, but maybe we can join forces as the Board of Ed and a PTA council somehow with legislation, because this has been on Obeth Page, it's been at Parkway, it's been on council, it has been for umpteen years. I mean, somehow if we got enough voices that way, do you think it would no? Okay, never mind.
No.
They go by area, they go by square footage, they go by places that are public places. And there are very few if you start to realize, like in Old Beth Page, the fire department, the restoration.
But they're big enough and they have ADA.
You know, I can't speak for the people
right.
who make those decisions, so we can write a letter, obviously, if we choose to. Okay, realignment of district lines.
Chris?
Okay, so tonight we wanted to duplicate the survey that we had on, actually not the survey, but the presentation on the August 22nd board meeting, just to talk again about the concerns for enrollment at both of the middle schools. And it's going to be an exact duplicate of what we did at the 22nd meeting, so I'll proceed. So in the presentation, what we wanted to do is we wanted to take a look at the past data as far as enrollment on Beds Day. Beds Day occurs on the first week of October each year. It's the actual enrollment of kids in the buildings. So when you take a look at the data for the district, and we're looking at just the middle schools in this report, you can see from 2011, you can see the delta between the two middle schools ranges from 23 all the way to last year for 17-18 of 81. So you have a difference that goes in the range from, in even lower numbers there, 16, from 2% above 10% of a discrepancy between the enrollment of the two middle schools. So that's actual enrollment in our buildings on Beds Day, the first week of October. What we also wanted to take a look at is what the future projected enrollment would be for the next several years within our district. So in the next slide of the presentation, this takes a look at one being the actual data of enrollment for 2018-19 that was taken as a snapshot on August 9th, 2018. So for the 18-19 school year, the numbers at that point, and again, they've changed, they've fluctuated a little bit from that point, but we have 831 students currently at POB Middle School, and we have 728 students at Matlin Middle School. It's a difference of just a touch over 100, and that 10% number has grown now to over 14%. Now, when you look at the projections based on the information provided by BOCES, those numbers for next year go from 103 of a difference up to 155 students. They do taper down just a bit, but even to when you go out to 2025, 26, the numbers are still talking about a delta between the two schools over 100 students. So clearly, when we look back at the history, as well as the projection, there is a discrepancy with enrollment when we just look at the two middle schools. This data from BOCES that we get as a projection is based on census data they collect, live birth rates, and home sales. That's where that data comes from for future enrollment. Next slide really talks about really just graphing out the delta, showing you that the trend when we take a look at the years 2015-16 all the way out to 2025, this is a steady trend where it's increasing, and the delta really remains constant above 100 for the foreseeable future. So it's not something that's short term, it's not something that'll come back down to a number that'll bring the two schools close together in enrollment. When we take a look at that delta, though, and we look at the impact, the actual impact inside the middle schools between POB and Matlin Middle School, you can see very clearly the experiences and the educational setup of the schools vary from that difference in enrollment. So in grade 5, between the two schools, there are 7 sections over at Matlin Middle School, and you have the same, in the same district, you have 9 sections over at POB. So there's 2 additional sections of 5th grade over at POB. As a result of the enrollment, you also have an additional 2 sections of 6th grade. And even when you take a look at the social studies courses as a constant that all students will take, you have in grades 7 and 8, you have a difference of 1 section between the schools. So that's the actual difference between what we have right now between the two schools. Next part of the survey, just try to educate and define the lines of the district. What we have here is we have the district boundaries on this slide here. They're mapped out with the buildings, so you can see the overall boundaries. Northern Parkway is obviously a road that helps us with our borders and cuts through it. We have Bethpage State Park down here. This is our piece of Farmingdale down in this region, etc. So you get a clear picture looking at that, what we actually have as our dividing lines. When you base that on the middle schools, the next slide is going to illustrate exact boundaries for both of the schools. And again, on the slide on the left-hand side there, you have the light shaded blue region where POB Middle School is illustrated inside that boundary. We have, just to give a frame of reference, this is Plainview Road down here as a boundary. You have South Oyster Bay Road as another boundary. Woodbury Road cuts across. And then the area in between all this would be the area that goes to POB Middle School. When we take a look at the district boundaries for Matlin Middle School, that's on the right-hand side. You have Farmingdale, which feeds into Matlin Middle School. And the boundaries there, you can see them clearly delineated. The piece that really comes together as an area that would be closest to Matlin and furthest away from POB Middle School is this slice of a puzzle right here in this area that you can see delineated in both of these maps. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that coming up. So once you understand the boundaries of the entire district, how it's broken up for the middle schools, what does that really mean if you take a look at this area here for the middle schools, the area that's closest to Matlin Middle School? What are the numbers of kids that actually attend POB Middle School right now in that area? And again, if you're looking at the Matlin map, you're talking about this area right here. Central Park Road is the dividing line, and over here again, Central Park Road. Now, as you start to do the research of the boundaries, you notice some distinct things that are really, if we were to take a look at discussion, I hope would be considered to be a fix moving forward. For example, one of the boundaries for the middle school boundaries that we have is Main Parkway. This is the one that stands out the most to me. If you live on Main Parkway North, if you live on the north side, you would be attending Matlin Middle School. If you look across the street at your neighbors are going to POB Middle School. So on the same road within the district, you actually have families that are going to different middle schools. We also have in this area, we also have some other boundaries that feed in. This is obviously going to be our middle school boundary here from Matlin Middle School, Minette Hill Road. This is Central Park Road, just as a frame of reference. And then when you take a look at this map down here, Deborah Drive stops at a certain point because that's the part that borders Bethpage Unionfield School District. So that's the area, really, when we take a look. If you were to look at some logical plan to try to balance the numbers between the middle school, this would be my recommendation for the area to look at. And it's a large area. Next, the next and final slide that I'll talk about, and I'll talk about a plan moving forward when I come back to speak at the October 1st board meeting. But what we did there is we tried to quantify the numbers of students that attend POB Middle School currently that live on those streets. And really what you're coming up with is you can see if you analyze the map one by one, if you made a movement or a shift, how could you approach to balance the middle school enrollment? And you got to remember that if you go back to the other slides, the range goes between 103 up to 155. So there would have to be that frame of reference of a number where you would want to come up with how could we balance that. So at the October 1st board meeting, what I look to bring back to you is, and we discussed at the last meeting just to review, we looked at this from the perspective of just middle schools. So that's clear, that's there. We could definitely go through and look at streets and add that up, but that's just from the perspective of the middle school. What I want to bring back to you next time is I want to look at the impact this would have to the elementary schools. And I'm just going to reverse in the slides for a second. When we take a look at this area, when you feed down to the elementary schools, that entire geographical area is from Pasadena Elementary School. So anything we were to take a look at on this grid of numbers and streets, it all would, on the elementary level, feed out of Pasadena to a different school. So what I want to bring back to you is various options to try to get the middle schools to a balanced level, to take a look at that over across a few years, but also to give you the impact to Pasadena and another potential elementary school where those kids would feed into. So I look to bring that back to you on the October 1st board meeting. Susan?
We've had the meeting last time, and it's a great idea. I think Joni brought it up with seeing the impact on the elementary schools. So would we have, and we've had this in the past, so if you had Pasadena, some of those kids might go to, some of the kids would go to POB Middle School, and then some of the kids would go Matlin Middle School. Are we looking to change the elementary school too?
Yeah, so that would be a discussion for this meeting, but I would recommend that you have to have an area go from one school altogether with the next. It would be hard to have some go one place and some go another.
It has happened.
I hear that. I don't know that.
I would say that
we would be creating more of that Main Parkway North idea where you look on one side of the street, they're going to one school, you look on another side. I wouldn't recommend. That's confusing, and I think that as a community, you want to go to the same school. I could respect that from families.
I'm just going to say that Joyce Road at one point did go to Parkway and then went to Joyce Road and then went to Matlin and then was shifted over.
Right. So that was one road that we would love to
Well, now that whole, I'm talking about the Joyce Road area.
No.
So.
I think probably most of the things that you'd be looking at were the streets that were changed when Pasadena opened, because that was your two elementary buildings that were split, and that changed the dynamics of the two middle schools. So it's very unfortunate that we can't find the history of a year's worth of work to find out where those streets are, and maybe somebody someplace will have them. If you lived behind Parkway, like Diamond, you should have gone to Parkway as opposed to going to Pasadena. And I remember our board discussions on this. They were long, they were heated, they were arduous and everything else.
Yep.
because we were not happy with the demographer's report about how the streets were being split.
Yeah.
They were dividing streets, and we just didn't do it, but they're trying to balance opening up a new school, so you had to take something from Old Beth Page, something from Stratford Road, and something from Parkway, a third, a third, a third, to make it equal, and those are how some of those streets really look very, very unfair.
And you had, at Parkway particularly, one class every year for many years that went to Plainview Middle, and the rest from Parkway went to Matlin.
Yeah. Yeah, two comments. I'm going to continue the investigation and try to find those documents. I do really want to find them, so I'm going to go back and try to do that. But yeah, if you look at the map that's behind you, it's amazing how close Main Parkway is to JJP versus living on that other side of the street, traveling a much greater distance to go to Pasadena. So I'm going to bring back several options and then just for discussion, and then I'll continue to investigate and research.
I might be jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm going to just ask a question to give you time to think about it. Can you, at some point, give us different grandfathering options and how those options would affect the year, you know, as time goes by, when the schools would get more kids? You know what I'm saying? I'm not quite sure how to say it.
So first we would want to look at what the streets are and then look at the impact on children and families and to develop several plans that the board would consider for addressing families. I can certainly do that. But it's first let's concentrate on deciding whether or not we're going to look at lines. Because the other thing I heard from one board member is that that's one option, but because remember the issue is around the two middle schools. So I want to be sure that we've explored all options before we move forward.
So good evening, everyone. I know I missed the beginning, so welcome to a new school year. For those that are joining us, I know that on August 22nd we started the conversation. We're going to continue it today, continue with the next month or so or longer. I know that I have said, and other board members have said over the course of the last year or so, that student growth in POB Middle School is pushing that building and the infrastructure of that building to the point where maybe at toward capacity that. We're concerned about its impact on delivering programs and services. And so the way I look at it, as alluded to by Dr. Lewis, is that there really are three options, the way I look at it. One, you do nothing, hope the demographics change, or see if we believe the demographics are going to change. I guess that's the do nothing and pray approach. Two is you add additional resources or divert some resources to POB Middle School to allow it to absorb increased enrollment in order to not have any demonstrative difference between the program services and the delivery of those programs and services. Or three, you talk about, as modest as it may be, some kind of realigning. And with regard to the first, the don't do anything and pray approach. I'm not sure that's the most viable solution. But it's worked in the past in some instances. So you know, maybe we have to continue to look and at our demographic reports. But the demographic reports are suggesting that it's not going to change. I think the second option is certainly a viable one, but. It would require the redirection or the investment of additional resources, a little bit creativity, and the board and the district and the community would have to accept that one school, one middle school, would be bigger, in some instances significantly bigger, depending on how much it grows, than another. And if that's something that we accept and we put the resources and it doesn't impact programs and services, doesn't impact the difference in terms of how you treat class sizes, then I think that that's certainly a viable option. The third one, certainly a viable option, but admittedly, I think it is the most difficult decision to make of the three. I'm probably the most hesitant at this point without knowing the various different ways that we would approach it. I'm concerned about the disruption to the families and to the students. I have the same questions as Debbie with regard to, are you going to grandparent families in, homeowners? How do you handle those circumstances? I don't think tonight is the night that we have to go through all the different hypothetical situations. I think what was described, like Main Parkway, Mr. Don Romo mentioned, to me, that's an easier fix than perhaps rezoning others, because I don't look at that as a realignment. It's more of like a zone correction, if you will, because right now you have people that are across the street from each other that are going to two different elementary schools, two middle schools, whereas if you take other streets, depending on how you grandparent in or grandfather in, I was trying to be PC with the grandparenting, you might create that situation where you have two families, same age kid, depending on how you do it, one going to one elementary school, like they could be neighbors next door, and they could be going to a different elementary school and a different middle school for until they get to high school, until that is a turnover. And I know that's part of the realignment. So I am curious as to the different ways that we could do it. Obviously, we have to look at which schools could absorb it. We talked about it impacting the families and the houses in Pasadena. That's true. I want to hear from them and the PTAs. But it's also going to impact, if it goes into Old Beth or Parkway, it's going to impact those families in that building, maybe less so, less disruptive to their family. But certainly, it's going to impact those buildings. So I'd like to hear from them as well. I in thinking about this, I thought of three guiding principles, one being what's the most efficient use of our resources and our facilities, more of like the business component of it. Two, a focus on maintaining or ensuring that neighborhood, neighborly concept, that's the social-emotional piece of it, as much as possible. And third, which goes across both, and that is minimizing the disruption to the student and the families and the buildings as much as possible. Seems pretty simple that those would be what we would be talking about anyhow, but sometimes saying it out loud allows us to digest it differently. I am I'm curious as to the various different ways we can look at it. Obviously, looking at current numbers may not tell us what the future numbers are, and obviously not every family fills out the census, despite our best efforts to have families do so, for us to project what the incoming families are, because some streets that have a high number now may have no numbers. Yeah, I mean, if they stay there, then they're going to be higher, and maybe they're not moving, and actually that's going to be the opposite. You know, I think I listened to the audio from last time. There was a discussion about which building could absorb, has the space. The focus is Parkway has more to absorb than Old Beth Page. But again, maybe the demographics over time changes. I think we have to rely on the hard data. And we're going to have a tough conversation afterwards. But I think those are the three options. I'd like to hear feedback as we can start and continue this conversation from all the PTAs as well as the families, because the impact it's going to have perhaps on, you know, their own properties, their ability, if those that are going to sell, that next door neighbors are going to different schools for a short period of time, there may be an impact. So
those are great questions, and I think that you've just about got to the heart and the essence of what we'll be dealing with, because there is a very big social emotional piece that goes with it. Ranelle?
I just have one question. When was the last census, and when is the next census? Because that makes a major difference, I would have to believe.
I think there's one, and Vince would know this best, but I think there's one that's going to be coming in October of this year. We're going to get the next piece of data that'll give us a refresh on that. But it is coming up soon, from my understanding.
Years ago.
Anything circumstances.
2 years ago.
I spoke 2 years ago. Renaud,
I spoke to a neighbor of mine who deals in real estate, and I asked her about houses for sale because of the new development. She says she's gotten many phone calls from potential sellers, but they're afraid if they put the house on and they sell too quickly, they don't know when they're moving in. And so that's a dichotomy. Oh, hello, Renaud. She's our displaced board member. But the whole thing is that most of the homes that are going to be bought when you're selling a 3, 4, 5-bedroom house are being sold to people who have children coming in. And so that I think that's going to be just an unknown that none of us know because we don't have a list of how many people are buying into Country Point who are current residents. And as she said to me, people are just calling and asking about what time. They don't want the winter because they're afraid if it's bad weather, people don't want to come out looking. So they think there's going to be a surge again in probably April that people are going to start coming out and putting their houses on the market. Mm-hmm. So that's just something else we have to look at. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. We're going to move on now.
Before you move on, Chris alluded to the October 1st. The reason we're moving things to October 1st is on September 17th.
Yes.
You know, this is if you look at the calendar, there were very few days that we could have back to school night. We're very limited. In fact, the last week of September, we could not because of some religious observances. We had 11 days between the first day of school and the possible back to school nights. So grades 5 and 6 was scheduled on the same day of a board meeting. Now that should never happen, and I will not make sure that it doesn't happen again. But so as to reduce the conflicts, we are beginning the board meeting on September 17th at 8:45. The grades 5 and 6 would have already now, but the good news is
it'll be a short meeting.
We'll have one report. And that one report will be Mr. Murray.
Yay.
The high school report.
Really short if you like.
The high school report.
Really short.
And the reason is that that night should have been the grades 3 through 8 report, but the same parents would be probably attending back to school night. So we will only have the high school report. We'll make it a very short meeting. So even though it will begin at 8:45, the hope is that it will end at the same time as it would a regular board meeting. So
it's on your shoulders. I don't want to put any pressure on you. Don't think about it at all.
Do it right now, baby.
Okay. So we'll make sure it's duly posted.
Okay, thank you. Now we're going to go into board goal discussion.
Okay. Very good. So, well, the annual rite of passage.
Yes.
We have everything that you will need.
Good.
So this year we started, the board has started on a very different note, and so they will be leading the discussion to have us become more conscious of our goals.
Everyone knows that when we do our goals, we go on and on and on, and we write a trilogy every year. And then every time we say we're going to change it because it's really too long, then we make a 5-year plan, and then it sort of just morphs into something else, and it's never ending. So when we started at our retreat to talk about our board goals, Mr. Greenberg came up with a very innovative way of thinking about it. So I'm going to let you take the lead on this right now because you can make your circles and fill them in. But this was really exciting for all of us because we're thinking outside the box and we're looking at everything very differently. So, Seth, you're on.
So before I go to the whiteboard, I know I missed the last meeting, and everyone had a rock where they had their one word. So I didn't have the opportunity to. So I wanted to share mine was gratitude, which I thought was, according to Cicero, it is the greatest of all virtues and the parent of all virtues. So I thought that gratitude was a good way to start the year and to say thank you for all those that helped get the schools ready. And all the work that's being done, thank you for the community, for the bond and voting for it, for the educators to get ready and the curriculum, and a lot has gone into it, so I start with gratitude. So that's my, that's still my word of the year.
Renelle, yep. Would you just like to share what your rock was since you didn't bring it, did you?
I didn't bring it. I didn't think to bring it in because the least of my talents is artwork.
It's just a word.
But mine was excitement, because a new school year always generated an enormous amount of excitement within me, within my teachers, within my school, and just very, very, very thrilled. You know, so that to me is very special. So being excited.
What's your word, Greg?
Greg cannot tell us his word.
So I pick gratitude, and there's a quote, I don't know who it was from, but it says, gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow, which is a good segue into our board goals. Where we seek our vision for tomorrow and the hundreds and thousands of other tomorrows that follow. So, okay.
So when we did our board discussion, everyone knows that every year I'm not going to say complain, but I complain about the...
He's not full of gratitude.
I complain about how lengthy our goals are, and I think that less is more, and sometimes it's addition by subtraction. And so... I had been reading about something called conscious capitalism. Some people may have heard of it, or conscious businesses. Think Ben and Jerry's, think Patagonia, think Seventh Generation. These are companies that do well by doing good. And so while I want to be very clear, I don't think that everything in the private sector has a place. In the public sector, I think some of these ideas make sense, and I was thinking of a different way we could approach goals in a more broader sense of vision going forward. And I think what I'm about to put on the board, which is what I did at our retreat, are elements of what a conscious business and conscious capitalism is, but we want to translate it to a school district. So my thought process was that our goal, our overarching vision or mission is to become a conscious school district. And what does that mean? Ultimately, we want to create a community comprised of responsible and autonomous learners. So that's the goal, develop responsible and autonomous learners. And there are four pillars that go along with this. And the first is a higher purpose. So the UCLA basketball coach, John Wooden, was really, really successful, won a lot of games, won a lot of championships, and his focus wasn't about winning. His focus was about making his players and his staff be the best they can be, do their best. And if they did their best, the winning would come, and the champions would come. And so what I thought would be the higher purpose should not be to focus on the grades, the AP exams. It shouldn't be about wins in sports or wins in tournaments. The goal should be about encouraging everyone to do their best, from the coaches and the teachers, the administrators, the students, the athletes. If you did your best, then those grades would come, the wins would come. And so the higher purpose should be focusing on doing your best. And everything you do, all the goals that we have every year is with a higher purpose, right? A company exists, and private sector exists to make money, but if it does well, then it could make more money, and it's also doing good, social responsibility kind of concept. And the quotes that are used, I think it was posted, but comes from a lot of these conscious capitalist websites are basically like, you need to produce red blood cells to live, but the purpose of your life is not to produce red blood cells, right? So companies exist, they need money, they need profit to exist, but their purpose doesn't have to be simply that. They could do something good. And so I think in education, the higher purpose is to be to make everyone try their best. The second pillar is it's stakeholder orientation, but I think when we discussed it, we modified it to become
What is it? Stakeholder mindset, or learning partners, right? Stakeholder mindset. And we always talk about communication and we have to include stakeholders. But this is more than just having open communication. The stakeholder mindset is not just acknowledging who the stakeholders are, but bringing them into the fold.
Learning partners.
Right. Learning so partners. It's more of like a learning partners. And this doesn't just simply include parents and teachers and students. It includes the Chamber of Commerce. It includes the hospital, the businesses in the community. It includes everyone that lives, works, visits our community. The third pillar is called conscious leadership. And this is where, when we talk about leadership, we talk about that the personalities and the actions of those at the top should be mirrored, that you know they set the foundation. But when we talk about the top, we're not simply talking about a school board or a principal, but we're talking about a teacher, we're talking about a coach, we're talking about the head of the student body, we're talking about the captain of a team, the president of a club, and it may change from time to time. Maybe the person that's leading the class, the student's leading the class, you know, it's the leadership, is how they act, how, you know, how they lead, and modeling the way. And then the last piece of a conscious business or a conscious school district is a conscious culture. And there's a lot of overlap here, but the idea of the conscious culture is this is the intentional approach about how people act. So this is where you'll have not just like policies, but it's also accountability. This is where accountability is. We talk about you can have all the policies and practices in the world. If you don't enforce it, if you don't hold each other accountable, then we're not going to be able to change the culture. And when we talk about security, for example, when we talk about having one way to enter a building, one point of entry, one thing that is constantly brought up is, you know, at the high school, sometimes, you know, people prop open the door to let Uber Eats in, and how we have to make sure that that doesn't happen. And that comes over time when you change the mindset of how we act, right? And so, maybe not the greatest example of the world, but the idea is that, you know, if you have a higher purpose, if you set your goals to fit in one or multiple of these circles, what's going to result is a conscious school district. And if you're a conscious school district, then what's going to result from that is you're going to develop you're going to develop autonomous learners. You're going to develop responsible and autonomous learners, not just the students, but the community residents as well. And so the thought process, as we started talking over the retreat, is that maybe we change our goal-setting approach and that we change it to what our vision is for the future. And every year when we come up with goals, one goal could fit into multiple circles, but the focus should always be on how do we get to here? How do we get to the conscious school district? So I guess when I did that, it kind of threw up like everything that we have talked about over the years up in the air in a way, but the goals that we talked about last year, some of them carry forward. And it doesn't change, whether it's, you know, from a financial standpoint, budgets, or it talks about social emotional stuff. All of it fits in the culture, the leadership, stakeholder mindset. So anyway, my proposal would be that we adopt some kind of vision. We change the way that we approach goals to become a conscious school district, and that we get feedback from all of our stakeholder groups about what goals from last year should carry forward, what maybe new things we should put in, and for short-term, long-term goals, 1 year, 2 years, and that's it.
Nice presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
No one.
So, needless to say, it started a whole new discussion. And I think that some of it is, you know, I went back and I reviewed our goals for many years. Of course you want to be the best. Of course you want to have financial restrictions and know where you're going and plan for a future. You want to offer the best courses possible. You want to do this. So it's a redundancy year after year. And maybe now changing our mind thought, You know, when you really said it's not about all the testing and everything else, it's about a whole child. And that every child obviously has very different needs. And so that when we're looking at this, many times there are goals that you look at and you say, how many kids would be impacted, how many won't. But there are other things that have changed. The opioid crisis in this country has changed. Mental health in this country has changed for young children. And there are things that we can start to talk about that look outside of all those just educationally type things. We want the best reading. We want the best math. We want to be innovative. And I think that one of the things that Dr. Lewis always talks about are innovative things, things that change because it's thinking outside the box. And what worked yesterday might not work tomorrow. So that I want to open it up and have some discussion with this, like the same excitement we had last time, about how do we proceed from here. If this is what the board wants to do, and it's conceptual, to hear from our partners if they feel that this is a good way to go as opposed to 14 pages of goals. So not that I'm giving you a little slant.
Can I just ask if Dr. Lewis could talk a little bit about what she spoke to us about in terms of 2025 visioning?
Yeah. So as we met, I had to provide a schema for the board to work with. And during our retreat, the administrative retreat, we had a trainer working with us who asked us to think about the year, any year, it could be 2031, in fact, but he chose 2025, so I use it with the board. If you think about a year in the future, so let's pick 2025, or for that matter, 2031, because our kindergartners will be 2031, and you're now in that year, and everything is humming, the district is doing well, and somebody says to you, well, how did it happen? You know, how did you get there, and what does it look like? You know, so first, what would you envision that 2025 would look like in the district if all things worked well? And so the board came up with, first of all, that's where the Conscious School District came from with Seth, but things like academic achievement goals reached by all students, every child receiving an appropriate level of instruction, every child having an IEP, an educational plan, innovative ways to instruct and assess students. We have 100% graduation rate. All students are involved in civic service. All of our schools are safe, both in the physical and emotional sense. Everyone gets along. Our stakeholders, teachers, and students are learning partners, keeping pace with technology. All students, no backpacks. All children have devices, and we are paperless. Total financial security. All of our facilities reflect the higher purposes and goals they were intended. Stakeholders, teachers, and students are learning partners, keeping pace with technology. And those were the things that the board identified as the 2025 visioning. What was that?
I thought she was putting.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
All right. Okay. So, you know, we had these operational goals in last year, and so we were trying to, I mean, believe me, when Seth introduced this, I was puzzled as to how to move. Maybe we don't need to consider what we've done in the past, but for me, running an organization, I need to anchor it into something. So how does that visioning, which is wonderful, I mean, there's nothing that's not good about that. That's wonderful to have this vision of being a conscious district, but how do you operationalize, and what are some of the action plans that we would put in place in order to begin to move towards the 2025 vision or the 2031 vision? So Mary actually took the task and tried to pull the goals that we had, the action plans that we believe we need to put in place, in order to support these four pillars that you talked about. So that was a starting point because we needed to anchor it into something, and I need to work with my administrators in operationalizing for this year how we begin that step towards that conscious district. So that's where we were. So we came up with a draft that I'd like the board to work with and to give us direction on. What are you trying to?
He's waiting to pull this up.
Gotcha. So is that doable for us as you looked at it, or does that just puts us back in the box? Because I know you're trying to think out of the box, and by doing this, I know I've put you back in the box. And I'm, you know, so I don't want to do that, but I'm working. I have to have something that we walk out of here with that gives us the actions that would be aligned with what your goals are.
Meetings and agendas.
Yes. Then,
microphone's on some
place. Somebody's thinking outside the box. It's how you get there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
That would get us out of the box.
Correct. Okay.
Taking me long enough, huh?
Yeah.
Got it. I'm there.
So that would be in the packet.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay, so that's what nobody can read it from the behind. They can't
read
it.
They'll get there.
Well, isn't it on the screens,
it's
too?
It's hard to read.
Is that on the
really?
Screens out there?
Yeah, not right now.
Can you see
okay.
it?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's moving from what those circles, the higher purpose and the culture and leadership and learning partners, moving from that to what the board visioned as 2025 to the goals that we had last year, which I think can be aligned with that. And then over on the right will be the action plans that we would be putting in place as administrators and staff members to achieve the goals towards moving in a direction that the board has envisioned. I mean, that's how I saw it. That's how Mary helped us through that. But I need your guidance on that. Like, what are you looking for? These are your goals. What is Greg saying?
What's going on here?
Good. That's not good. How's that going?
You don't answer yourself.
That's not true. It's going great. Nobody's in
here.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, no. I'll fill the silence. No, I'm just going to say I like the approach. I think some of the action plans look good as a working. I think this is a good working document. I would like, as we've done in the past, I'd like this to be circulated to the stakeholder groups, our learning partners, to get feedback about maybe some of them make sense, maybe they don't, maybe they have other ideas about how to do it. Maybe we, you know, take some things off, add some things, limit it. The only question I had was actually on the third page, because I know that I like the idea that all these guiding principles, visions, that they feed into the culture. So, I mean, it is true the whole thing is, I don't know if it feeds into culture, but culture feeds into all of them too, which is why I know you have it all feed in. So
it should go both ways.
Right. So I don't know why this was like separated differently than the others is what I'm saying. It was like a different thought process.
Because it was hard to find action plans.
Gotcha.
Oh, so we just changed it up a little.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, that's
fine.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, okay. What action plans could I put?
Well, I mean, look, some of the things we're talking about, some of the action plans fit in not, I mean,
right.
Some of the action plans, you know, when we talked about, like, when we do our, on the policy committee, when we go through stuff, we talk about this all the time, that some of the policies, like, fit into multiple different areas. So it's okay that it doesn't fit.
So maybe at the beginning we could still have Seth's picture so that you can
do a different
visualize.
Picture, yeah.
What this is all about, and then break it down. You know, I think, Mary, I think you did a great job in breaking this down. It was very easy to read and to reflect upon our discussion. So you got it.
I'm sorry. So my thought is actually a combination. If you do that, then the goals that you see for 18-19, the response of teaching and learning, the citizenship and safe learning environment, the finance and facilities could still be, I mean, three is always a good number, right,
I to like use. Three.
I like always, like, there's something about three, right? I mean,
always my kid's favorite
three strikes
number.
And you're out.
Yeah.
right? Trinity. Trinity, how about that? Is that okay?
Oh, now she's like with you.
you know, looking at the action plan, there's some things that maybe we don't have to have as our goal, though, you know, because there's certain things that complete all 2014 bond projects. I mean, things like that should almost be objectives rather than a goal. They're ongoing to make sure that when you have a bond, the bond comes to fruition, it's done, and everything is completed.
Well, it's not just completing it. It's within the action plan. But it's completing it within the fiscal parameters.
Right. Mm-hmm. I understand so, that. So I'm just saying that I'm not sure that everything, right, yeah, that's how it goes. But there are some things here that are excellent, and I really have to say I love this whole Peter Drucker thing.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, foster love, care, and inclusiveness, build trust amongst administrators, teachers, students, and all other stakeholders. I think that those are the most important things that you could have, because if this is your foundation and this is what you want, everything else can flow into it, because that trust piece is so very, very important.
And that's what we talked about at our retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really captured.
You really did. You got the essence of the conversation.
You know, us. It's not always so easy. It was.
Well, what happened was that it's something new in the way that we're looking at it. It's different eyes, but it's also, as you look at the component parts, you start to say, oh, this fits into here, and if you do this, you've got everything together, especially the last statement I made. Everything flows in, and so many things are hinged upon something else happening, and I think that the message we keep talking about is that this is about children. It's about making it the best place it can be. And you can have 1,000 goals, but if you don't meet the needs of certain children, you've lost everything. So I think that's it. Yeah, I love that.
So could we get this to the various stakeholder groups and ask them for feedback?
And then we can go from there.
Can we make sure to share it with the student body as well?
I'd like to see,
As a matter of fact, we talked about having
a student rep.
Government and the board interacting at some point. Mm-hmm. So
That'd
know that I've spoken with Jim about that. So I wonder if you might want
to. I already spoke with the president of the student government about it. They're very interested as well.
Good.
Could I ask, with the student government, I'd also like to see not just high school. I think middle school students also bring a very, because they're coming out, they're transitioning. And what about, like, coaches that are out of district? Sometimes, you know, we have some of our coaches that are out of district, and they see a different perspective. Because they're also, like we talked, they're part of the stakeholder groups. They're hitting a population. And are we going to go to the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, if we said that's one of the stakeholder groups.
I mean, look, you could share it with them, and if they have feedback, great.
I think that what we should do is we have to have a time frame for a return.
Right.
Yeah. Because otherwise this is going to be out there. And the one thing is that everybody has to understand this is not meant to go to 40 pages. This is meant to find the things that are most important to us.
See, we made a cultural shift on this board in terms of how we approach goals now.
Yes.
It's not meant to be 40 pages. Huh?
Yes. You like that?
I do.
Good. So do I. So
the profile of a school district.
So what we want to do is get their feedback, and then obviously be quelled down to the things that have a common denominator.
Mm-hmm. And then have another discussion.
Yeah. Oh, this is far from over.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you,
Mary. Thank you.
Okay.
We now go into public participation. District Policy 15101 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff, students, at which the reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could be some way violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. And remember, at the beginning, we talked about being civil and respectful. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is open.
Good evening. Cheryl Dender, 65 Glenwood Road, Plainview. Welcome to the new school year. Chris, congratulations. Very excited for you and for all of us. About the boundaries, just informational, looking at these streets, I remember when all of this happened, and I think I may have the documents, so if I find them, I will forward them to you. Most of these streets, though,
this
most of these streets were ones that were the other side. It's like crazy. I'm looking. So I'll let you know about that. Also, the grandfather plan that was put in place then was an excellent plan. It really took care of the needs of the kids that were, you know, finishing up elementary school, finishing up middle school. It affected families in that they had one child at POB and one at Matlin. But we also did something that was really good. When the kids that, let's say, finished Parkway and had to come to POB Middle School without all of their friends, we had some really good programs that integrated them and helped them make a new circle of friends that worked very well. So I just wanted to add all that. And correct. And let that follow through. So if I find, I'm looking. I may have at least some of it. So have a great school year.
We understand that our child care program is off to a huge success. Your numbers are all the way up there, and thank you for a job well done.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Lily Narvaez, and I'm glad to be here. I was looking for this moment 3-4 years ago. My daughter goes to Stratford School until last June. That was the last day. And I just was hearing what the superintendent was saying about the academic level. It's sadly to me to say I disagree with her. Academically, I'm begging for more education for my daughter. We don't have results. And sadly, I'm the one, a proactive mother, who is there asking for more homework and technique so the children can learn. She was, when she started school in first grade, she came from a little school where in 2 months she started learning. 2 months. When she was transferred for this school in Stratford, out of the blue, she stopped learning. So that's, for me, an indication that something is not working in the way they teach their classes. So I started going for different channels, the teachers, principal, superintendent, higher and higher. No results at all. My daughter is now going to POB school, but the last report card I had is once. So sad. My daughter has an engineer. My cousin is an engineer too, so she has a daily tutor at home. So her math is strong, and so she doesn't have any problem. The only one teacher I had all these 4 years with her was Mrs. Mormino.
You can't talk about our staff. You could just talk about a general education, but not focusing in on a teacher.
Oh, well, yes, well, I have someone telling me from the school that I should be proud of my daughter when I was trying to follow up why she's not achieving what we want. So right now, this is one thing. The other thing, the last experience I had with the Stratford Road School is that I don't know what was happening. The personnel from the school was so irrespectful. I'm in shock. I sent an email, all of you, and also to Albany.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm in shock how my child can be abusing the school and the principal is just ignoring the case. And also myself. So right now I'm here to find out how we can address this.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, yeah, we are in receipt of your letter. I would like to tell you that you had sent to us. Secondly, Dr. Luz has seen it, and how do you want to?
I did send the letter, the ones I had on a paper, because I went to the library to find out the board education emails, because that information is not provided for no one. So I got some emails there. I sent all of them also to Albany. The one who answered me back, only one who answered, said, "We received your email," was Albany. That's why I'm here to ask you, did you receive my email? Because I can provide you a physical letter to your office.
Yes, this and we will,
okay,
we will take it under advisement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Ladies and gentlemen, public participation is now closed. We'll be going on now to routine business. I just want to find my sheet. Hold on one second. How do you want to do it? Yeah, we'll have Mary do it.
Yeah, Mary will do it.
You want to make a motion? Yep. On routine business, do I have a motion? Debbie? No, we just discussed it. Second, Seth? Any discussions? Susan? Questions?
Question. On 8.5 regarding the EpiPen, the way I'm reading the contract, I'm a little confused on who gets the 2-year certificate and who gets the $25 training.
Okay, I can answer this question. However, the question really had to do with training of child care workers on CPR and EpiPen.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if we could have Cheryl Dender answer that question.
Why did you come to the
meeting? Is it on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I have my staff trained every year. So many of them are on their second year from last year. So there was no need to spend $100 a person for them to get the actual certification, yet I want them trained every year as a refresher. So the $25 a person is so that they get that refresher course, so they're familiar. But we didn't need them to have the certification because they have it. We also have some staff that aren't capable of passing the certification part, but yet they still need to know what steps to do and what needs to be done. So again, they didn't need to have the certification for the $100 a person.
So of your staff, is it required by health code or New York State educational law that they have the CPR certs, or is it just that they need to know how to do a Good Samaritan CPR?
I don't, as far as I know, there isn't any law about it. It's just my procedures that I want every year for the training to take place. I don't know how often it had happened previously to my being there, but I have a training that goes on every single year.
My concern is, this certification is a very valuable documentation. You can take it with you. It's not made just to here. If it's something that is voluntarily, I would ask that there's some sort of, I would like to see a refund. If you're a lifeguard someplace, you pay for your, if you get your master's, it's your master's. If it's not something that I think the district has to lay out for, I don't mind the training, That's something else. But the certification is a big deal. It's a Red Cross certification, and I think it's something that, you know, can go. They can quit. We pay for it. They quit the next day, and they can go have a CPR, EpiPen card. Plus, also, there are EpiPens now that talk to you like an AED. And if we're covered under Good Samaritan laws and not needing it, it's a lot of money. That's all I'm saying.
Susan, we don't get certification for the EpiPen training. That's a separate certification. We got trained, and we had the testers there so that everyone on the staff...
You're paying $100 for CPR?
It was for CPR through American Red Cross.
It's expensive.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's not for your protection.
Of course it is. Something happens to one of our kids.
These kids eat snack at daycare. They eat breakfast at childcare. If somebody starts to choke,
you don't have to have a certification. You don't have to get the card. You can get a training, and you can get...
This is, in my opinion, this is not the place to try to pinch pennies. Okay,
not
this
pinching
is, this
pennies.
Is,
it's just I'm concerned... That we're over
$2,300.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay. And I capped it at 14.
Eating breakfast. If somebody chokes,
it's very expensive for it. If this American Red Cross is coming in and charging you $100.
There's no nurse.
Just so you know, I capped it for the certification. I capped it at only 14 people, so that two people in each school would always be certified, and the rest just were trained.
Okay.
You know what? I understand where you're coming from, but this is children's lives. I was child care commissioner for a long time for Nassau County. I cannot tell you how many kids have died because they've choked on something.
Look,
I'm
Red Cross trained, and I'm a trainer.
You are, but we have to trust. Remember, we just said about trusting people.
Yeah,
that people are coming
and
here.
I'm allowed
they have
to make
a
question of it.
I'm not saying.
I'm questioning it. That's all it is a question. But to sit here and then jump on me, and I get it. I get you. We have different opinions, and that's fine.
Okay, then let's
move on.
I know you have more questions.
The other one is for 11 point, so it's in the next section. It's not routine business.
Okay, that was it?
For routine.
Okay. On routine business, all in favor? So moved. Going on now to new business.
We did the first one.
We did the first one. The second one, 11.2, request a Board of Education approval for Coach Bus Music Department field trips for the year 2018-2019. Motion? Debbie? Second? Rennell? Discussion?
So on this one with the music trips, I was given an answer. Can I say the budget? So the Board of Ed budgeted $20,320 for educational portions of the music trips. There's a transportation portion, which would be $41,960, based on the email response I received. Now, do the students need to fundraise for that portion, like any of the other, like the sports would have to go, like when the gymnastics went down to Disney themselves? Didn't we have a fundraise? Didn't they have to fundraise?
Yeah, but these are not exotic trips.
Disney?
No. This is not for going to Disney. This is, for example, taking kids to NISBA.
No, this was a Disney trip was in there.
But this was...
There was a Disney trip
okay.
in the...
But if that... We don't pay for the Disney trips, but the budgeted portion of the that
we
line...
We pay for the educational
for,
portion, but not...
Right.
The
but
entrance
if you're going on a Disney trip, that would be a fundraising effort.
Because it says Disney Performing Arts, 4 days, March 14th through the 17th.
Yeah, I guess we break it out, which ones are fundraising
I can provide...
But this is all attached to
right.
that one particular...
Okay, so I will provide you with more detail
okay.
on the Friday packet.
So okay. then can I move that we hold on this before we vote on adopting it?
Some of those trips are going to occur before... the next board meeting.
You only have one trip. You have one trip going. Okay, but I'll abstain because you have. I'm looking at this document that's attached. There's no number.
Hold on a second.
Okay, let me get
right.
She can, of course.
Yes, yeah, she well, can.
I want to know about those performing arts.
Okay, so if that's the only one that you're concerned about, can't we just pull separate
it out, and then
Lorna will get her more information.
We'll do the Disney one separate.
That's fine.
Okay.
She could just ask to hold the Disney one until the next meeting.
Okay.
So on the motion, do you want to make?
So I would like to hold
the Disney
till we find out we get further information.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Is there? I only see one Disney.
Which one is this?
Second to last, and where's the other one?
November 25th.
Oh, Hunter, I didn't see that. It's because it's Coronado Springs down there. Yes.
Just make it plural, Disney trip.
Both Disney trips, please.
One 1.3 recommendation to approve resolution for voting sites. And since we do not have a voting site, is there a motion? We'll move on. 11.4 recommendation to accept the Beechwood Amendment to the letter of credit in the form of attached and designated and authorized the board president to sign such acceptance to execute same on behalf of the Plainview Old Beth Page Board of Education. Is there a motion? Rennell, second. Susan, all. Discussion? All in favor? May I have a motion to... Yes.
Oh, are you going to make a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Before you make a motion to adjourn, can I just put on the minutes to reflect? Because I wasn't here when the vote occurred to create the Assistant Superintendent for Student Services and Safety. I just want to point out that if I was here, I would vote in favor of it. Congratulations. I think it's an important role that we have, just as the position itself, and congratulations to Chris. So I fully support and look forward to working with you, but I know that my vote doesn't count because the vote was taken, but I wanted the minutes to reflect that I support the creation of the position and that Chris be the first person to be in that position. So
thank you.
Thank you again.
May I please have a motion to go into executive session for reason of real estate? Rennell, second. Debbie, all in favor? Everybody, thank you for coming this evening, and please, for those of you celebrating the Jewish holidays, Happy New Year.
Hashana Tova. Mr. Murray, you have a 9:30 goal.
I had 9:15 down, to be honest, so.